the pleadings of the heart of a true spiritual father, even bringing warnings. We're going to talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. So glad that you have stayed with us and continue through 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 12 today and we're going to wrap up this chapter with verse 11 through 21, dealing with Paul's continuous strong pressing and warning to the Corinthians. You'll find that as he wraps up this chapter and even goes into chapter 13, warning them pretty severely. That means Paul carried a heavy burden. He had already espoused them to Christ as a chaste virgin, and he saw the travesty of them being pulled aside by these false apostles. Today, he continues with sharing with them the awkwardness of what it meant for him to boast in the flesh. He called it being foolish. Beginning here at verse 11, I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Can you hear his voice, his heart, when he says, you made me do this? When he says, you have compelled me to act as a fool and boasting, what he's saying is, I saw how you were looking toward the fleshly things of these false apostles. And so I was compelled to share with you this comparison, just so you can see that I have some of the things that you've looked to them for. I just don't talk about them. And he said, I came behind those other eminent apostles and nothing, yet I am nothing. Listen to what he says. He said, what you think is important is not important at all. And though I've labored and I've not come behind in them, don't look at us as anything. He said, I am nothing. And he continues in verse 12 and he says, truly the signs of the apostles were accomplished among you with all perseverance and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. He's saying, I came to you as a true apostle. Now, I like the way the NIV translates this. He says, I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs and wonders. I like it because it shows that Paul's perseverance and his faithfulness in the heart of the spiritual father towards the Corinthians was the true mark of an apostle, not just signs and wonders. Yes, signs and wonders should follow in the life of such leaders, but others have signs and wonders. Evangelists have signs and wonders. Philip, the evangelist, would have had. There had been others in the body of Christ with working of miracles. So signs and wonders alone does not make one an apostle. But the persevering, the faithfulness, not giving up, being a true spiritual father and staying with them and having patience toward them. He says, I persevered in demonstration among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs and wonders. So his faithfulness towards them was evidence in his heart toward them that that was a true sign of an apostle. Verse 13, he says, for what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. He said, look at this. I know you're used to looking at these other churches and going, man, they have these super apostles and we need to have those same apostles because they were false apostles leading others astray. And he said, but when you look at it, we weren't inferior. What we brought to you was no less than anything that they would have had, except we didn't charge you. We didn't put a requirement that you to pay us. And he says, almost sarcastically, forgive me for this wrong. Maybe we should have laid that upon you. So in this, he's trying to show the Corinthians that they're being deceived. And one more time, he's warning them. So look at verse 14. For now the third time, I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. I love how Paul is saying, listen, I'm coming to you the third time. Now, we know he came the first time because that's when he birthed them in the gospel. He was the true spiritual father. He came and brought Christ to them and stayed about a year and a half, 18 months, and saw the church of Corinth come forth in great fruitfulness. And then he comes back, you might remember, between the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and that was a painful visit, hard visit. Now he's warning them, I'm coming again, and I don't want it to be a hard visit, but I'm concerned, and he even used the word fear, that there will be those who have not repented and those who are going to manifest these wrongful attitudes when I come, because that's what spiritual authority does. When spiritual authority brings God's government in the midst of a situation, many times it brings those things to the surface. And he makes a principle here by saying, I'm not going to be a weight to you. I'm not going to be a burden to you. For children ought not to lay up for their parents, but the parents for the children. He knew that they weren't mature enough to be able to provide for him. He would receive from other churches, like Philippi, and even like the Macedonian churches. He even said in one place, I robbed from other churches. So he wasn't afraid to receive provision, but he knew the Corinthians would hold that against him. And later on, maybe they would mature, and then they would be able to bless and provide. But right now, he knew to be wise, he must come among them without any requirement upon them financially. And then he says in verse 15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. He said, my heart is to give myself for your souls. It's really you that I'm after. I'm not after your gift. I'm after you. But the reality is sometimes the people you invest the most in give back to you least. And that's what Paul is experiencing. He's really living out what it means to give into the kingdom of God. Because you're not just giving to the Corinthian Christians or whomever you're investing in, because they might turn on you. They may not love you more. They might love you less. That's what he says is, the more I've loved you, the less you've loved me. But yet he's investing in them. He's investing in the kingdom of God. And then he says something which I think is quite interesting in verse 16. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Now, there'll be some who say, wait a minute, Paul's using crafty guile and cunningness to catch them. No, here's what I believe Paul is saying. He's saying, had I come and charged you like all the other apostles and put a spiritual and a financial demand upon you, if I'd have demanded that you give to me, you would have held that against me. And he said, I was crafty and I knew that and I did not allow you to do that. And I am not going to now. I'm not going to be a burden to you. I'm still going to come to you. Nevertheless, he said, I was crafty, and by not using that, you can't charge it against me. Verse 17, did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? So Paul's saying, did we not walk together, even Titus that I sent to you and the brother whom everybody respects and honors that I sent along with you, unnamed brother, but obviously somebody that was well respected. He said, they came the same way I did. They didn't charge you. They had their expenses paid by someone else. They came at their own cost. We are doing this alike. No one has taken advantage of you whatsoever. And so the reason that he is saying these things, because he knows that when he comes, they can't hold that against him, but he's going to find things he's concerned. He's going to find things that are out of order. So in verse 19, he says, again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. Now we're going to share these things as we are about ourselves, not to excuse ourselves. We're not blaming you and excusing ourselves. What we're speaking is truth from God in Christ. But our real heart is to build you up. Our real heart is to edify you. Even as Paul said in earlier of his writings, our authority was given to build you up and not tear you down. But when I come, he says in verse 20, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, and tumults. These are Christians. This is the church. And yet he says, I know when I come, it's going to stir up things that are there. Things that are out of order, things that are of the flesh, contentions and jealousies and gossiping and outbursts of anger. They're going to respond back. He said, I'm concerned, I'm fearful that when I come, that's what I'm going to find. So he's warning them, verse 21, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. Can you feel his heart? He's saying, it's going to be like I'm humbled. The fruit that I thought I would see among you, I don't see. And maybe he would think in his own mind, Paul, you're not being effective because things are not changing. Well, he knew he's not responsible for them in their behavior, but he's responsible to them in their behavior. And so he's warning them that when he comes in his spiritual authority, there would be those who would still be unrepentant. Not just these outbursts of anger, and not just these tumults and whisperings and gossiping, backbiting, but there would be those who would continue in their sin. Those that he confronted before. He said, when I come, that those who have not repented. You see, it's not just sin. It's an unwillingness to repent. When someone falls on the rock and they repent and they cry out and God works in them godly sorrow that brings repentance, that is what the church is about. The restoration, redemption, that's what it's about. But his concern was, is I'm going to find those who have not repented. And listen to what he names, uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness. Sexual immorality would be still in the church. And he's saying, I'm concerned about that. So he's warning them about his coming. Now the next chapter, chapter 13, he continues with this warning. This may seem heavy for us. This may seem charged for us. But it's not. Paul is carrying this heavy burden because he knows what's going on. And he's trusting God's going to change their heart before he arrives. I love the heart of a true spiritual father who pleads with them and brings warnings to them at his own cost. Thank you for joining us today in the Word.